you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, we are back with another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. It is my distinct pleasure to be talking again to Sean Hale. Sean, how are you?
Doing great, Mickey. Thanks. How about you?
I'm doing great. What is your official title these days, may I ask?
Oh my goodness. I have so many titles like daddy and dude and whatever, but I'm the founder of Sean Hale Consulting and also the co-founder of Philanthroforce.
If anybody has not checked out Philanthroforce, they should definitely go do that. But today we're going to switch hats and talk about some of the consulting work you do. But the subject matter specifically is going to be inflation.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something that not a lot of nonprofits think about. And correct me if I'm wrong, it may not be something that a lot of nonprofits need to worry about, or I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's where we start. Am I wrong? Does every nonprofit need to worry about inflation?
Well, everybody should be aware of it, certainly, because it can have an impact on everything that we're doing. And in fact, a lot of nonprofits are beginning to see that, even though they might not attribute that necessarily to inflation. The whole way that the job market has changed over the last few months, the way that the job postings that used to get dozens and dozens of applications are now getting a trickle. Mm-hmm. Part of that is related to inflation in the job market.
You wrote this beautiful blog post on your website, Don't Let Inflation Wipe Out Your Cash Surplus. And I know we're going to riff off of that today, but if folks are interested in checking out that blog, we'll put that link in our show notes for sure so people can find it. But the first thing you say is that your nonprofit has already lost money.
Yes.
So let's talk some more about that. That seems pretty significant to me because even a medium-sized nonprofit may not have a whole lot in the bank. But as long as I'm looking at a profit and loss statement in my accounting sheets and all that, and if that bottom line number is not changing, why should I be worried?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great way of setting it up because really, pretty much any nonprofit that has money in the bank is losing money. And granted, if you don't have a whole lot of money in the bank, then don't, you know, today's Snapcast might be informative, but that might not be action items for you at the end of it. But let's say that your nonprofit, well, I think after I do this little bit, we'll go through and define some terms for folks.
Okay.
But let's say your nonprofit has a $100,000 surplus in the bank. Well, that $100,000 it lost, we had 4.8% inflation in the last 8 months. That's $4,800 in buying power that got lost. And so it still shows $100,000 on the balance sheet, but your buying power went down by $600 per month. That's the price of a new laptop computer every month that you lost in buying power, or, you know, it might be 8 weeks of food for a family that got lost every month in buying power because prices went up.
I mean, I guess the next obvious question is, how do we combat that? But like you said, let's define some terms first and talk about some other effects of inflation, and then we can talk about what nonprofits can do to sort of hedge that. So I'll defer.
Yes.
What terms do we need to define?
I think we should define inflation and cash surplus and talk about what's driving the inflation. But first of all, I want to clarify one thing for all of our listeners.
Yes.
I'm not an investment advisor. And Mickey, are you an investment advisor?
Not in terms of the financial sense, no.
Okay. So, folks,
yes,
we're sharing information today. But before you go and make big moves with your nonprofit's money, please enlist a financial, an investment advisor for your nonprofit to make sure that you are doing things in accordance with what is best for your specific needs at your specific nonprofit. So, inflation. Let's talk about what is inflation. It's just a rise in prices. And so, like when I was a kid, I could get a soda out of a vending machine for 40 cents. These days, it might cost a buck 50, something like that. Well, that's inflation. And most of the time, at least in American history, inflation has been really, really low. It's been like a penny on the dollar, 2 pennies on the dollar every year. And so not a big deal. But sometimes it gets hot, like right now, where it's been over the last 12 months, it's been 5.4%. That's pretty significant inflation and not inflation that most of us have lived through. There was a little bit of it in around 2008, but before that, you have to go back to the late 70s, early 80s to find inflation like this. So we also want to know what a cash surplus is. And that's basically money that you're not using during the year. And so it's basically money that's sitting in your checking account and not doing anything for you, because we all know you're not getting any meaningful interest on a checking account these days, right? So for example,
That is the truth.
Like your nonprofit, the cash is normally between $150,000 to $250,000, let's say, over the course of the year, it regularly goes up and down like that. So that means that you have $100,000 surplus, right? Actually, have more of like $150,000 surplus, because that's money that's not doing anything for you, right? If your money never dips below that 150, then that's a surplus, right? And it's not doing anything for you. So the next question is, what's driving inflation, right? Because like things were really, the US economy usually has this really low inflation rate. Well, we've had this pandemic. And so people might have heard about these supply chain breakdowns, right? And so let's say that you can't get a microchip from China where they're all getting built. And so all of a sudden the price of a car or a used car goes way up. Cost of a phone, a new phone goes up. Cost of a computer goes up because of supply and demand. And that supply is getting cut off, whether it's because the plant in China can't produce because the workers are all sick, or they can't get raw materials, or because the port in San Diego can't get the goods through fast enough. And so like at the port in San Diego, I think they've had stuff sitting on the docks for well over a month, if not two, when normally it's going through lickety split.
And not even counting the stuff that's still on the water. It's just amazing how many ships are stacked up out there right now.
Yeah, because they can't unload them fast enough. And there's not enough space on the docks to put the stuff because there aren't enough trucks to get it out of the docks. It's a mess. And I should clarify. Oh, and so rent I just read yesterday is going up across the country. So that has a big impact. We saw that the Social Security Fund, they decided that for 2022, that they're going to be raising the Social Security, what they're paying out to folks, about 5.5%, 5.9%. So this is a real thing. Even though we can't predict the future, but certainly the things that we're experiencing right now, we have reason to believe that, you know, this could continue certainly for the immediate future, if not longer. So you asked, how do we protect our organizations? Do you want to dig into that next?
We've defined inflation. We've illustrated some of the effects and some of the causes of inflation. But if I'm a nonprofit looking at my books, how do I, you've said it here in your blog, how do I even know if I have a surplus?
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely like if you don't have much of a surplus, then you certainly need to be aware of inflation, because that's probably going to be driving your cost of retaining your current employees and of hiring new employees. Don't let your current employees go away because they got offered 20% more to do the same job somewhere else, right?
Right.
So you definitely need to be looking at inflation and retaining those folks, because it costs you a lot of money to go out and hire and train somebody new. Far better to retain your employees. But so even if you don't have the cash surplus, make sure you're doing everything you can to hang on to all of your current staff, at least all the good staff, right?
And we're making sort of light of that, but I think the truth is, you know, doesn't that fill an executive director or perhaps even a board of directors with a little bit of dismay if they don't feel like they're empowered to combat the effects of inflation? Then what if they are really in danger of losing all their staff? That cannot leave a good taste in everybody's mouth.
No, that, and some organizations, they really don't. They may not have, nobody has easy ways to like crank up the money, right? To just like, yeah, we need 20% more this year. We'll just open up the spigot a little bit more. That's not easy for anybody. There are lots of good, I'm sure they're on the Snapcast, good people giving advice about fundraising and lots of other good resources out there. So I don't know that we'll dig into that today, but it's a tough situation, in which case, like, I would actually want to talk to a nonprofit financial advisor to figure out, how do you make strategic adjustments, right? So that this is something that my team and I, we help nonprofits with regularly. It's like, okay, well, yeah, we only have this bucket of money to play with, and how do we budget appropriately? And it might be that we need to allocate that money differently this next year. It might be that what used to be a 5-person team is a 4-person team. It might be that we need to automate processes that we used to do manually. Might mean we also need to find ways to be more productive. And I have a number of blogs about this on my website, that a lot of nonprofits, we end up doing things to save nickels and dimes, but that kill our productivity. And so simple things like getting that new laptop for your staff people, that can pay for itself over 6 months in terms of productivity. And that's a resource that's going to be serving your organization for 2 to 5 years. And so there are a lot of things where you can get more without making people work harder. You can get more productivity out of the same people by giving them better tools. And that's something that my team and I love to help people do.
And that's a good creative way to look at problems, I think. You know, nonprofits are notorious for living in what we call a scarcity mindset, right? Try to do the most you can with as little as you've got. But from what you just illustrated, it makes perfect sense to actually spend a little bit more upfront if the payoff on that is bigger down the road. And we just don't think of it in those terms.
Yeah. There are too many nonprofits out there. Everybody I ask, I show a picture of these computers that are held together with duct tape and a prayer.
Oh yeah.
And I ask people like, who's ever seen this before? And everybody raises their hand because we've all seen that before. And that computer is costing your organization in lost productivity anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 in lost staff time every year, depending on just how slow it is. How bad are you letting that situation get instead of going out and buying a $600 laptop?
So here we are now at the big question. How do we protect against the effects of inflation?
Yes. So step number one, get an investment advisor. And I want to double check, Mickey, just in case anything's changed in the last 10 minutes. Are you an investment advisor?
I am not a financial investment advisor by any stretch of the definition.
Okay. And I haven't become one either. This is a profession with certification and things like that. If you don't know where to find one, folks, go talk to your bank. Or, I personally like the good folks over at Fidelity, but there are also lots of good brokerage houses.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the credit unions will also have people in-house who can at least help you start having that conversation. You need to find somebody who is going to work with you and is going to work with you in a way that is a reasonable price and is also going to give you the advice that you need, not just sell the thing that they happen to be selling, because some of them, they just have a handful of products that they sell over and over again. And they take a one size fits all approach. And that's no good for your nonprofit.
Right.
And so definitely talk to several and talk to some of your peer nonprofits, especially if there's a bigger peer nonprofit that you know and trust, like who do they work with? And so talk to several folks, get a sense of their fees, get a sense of how they work, so that you can find somebody who's the right match for you and who's going to work with your, well, we'll talk about this in a little bit, but you certainly want to have an investment philosophy and that sort of thing to help you make sure that you have guidance for yourselves and everybody's on the same page. Like, can we take big risks? Can we place a big bet and like do venture capital level investments, or do we have a low risk tolerance? And so you need to have an investment philosophy to guide that.
And I don't know if Austin provides this but people should check their local Secretary of State's offices, because Georgia Secretary of State lets you look up financial folks. You can actually go to the website and check on people's licenses and see who's in your area. But anyway, I digress.
Great. Yeah. Great. No, that's wonderful. So, step number one, get an investment advisor, and you don't need a board vote to go, ideally get a board vote, but really if you're a person of action, you can start having those conversations informally, right? Because you're not committing the organization if you're having conversations. So I would say, it's not normally in normal financial times, I wouldn't say time is of the essence, but time is of the essence right now, because every month, if you have $100,000 cash surplus, you're losing $600 a month in buying power. And so really, if you have the time and if you're a person of action, go ahead and start having those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't commit the organization to anything yet, but you can gather information on your own. And every nonprofit is different. So, this is important. Every nonprofit has different goals. They have different risk tolerance. And so really what the investment mix that makes sense for nonprofit A could look very different from nonprofit B or nonprofit C, even though most that I know, they're going to have a low risk tolerance. And especially if they've never been involved in investments before, it's going to skew to be on the low risk side. And so the conversations, the questions that I would want to have on the list of things to talk to that investment advisor would include things like, tell me about your experience working with nonprofits. Tell me about your experience working within a nonprofit investment policy. Tell me about what you would do to help us at least not lose money to inflation, right? That's why we're not going to put money in CDs, which aren't getting anything right now. We're not going to leave money in a checking account or savings account. Tell me about what kind of mix of investments look good to you. Something that I would also ask them about is TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected securities. That's an investment through the government, so it has a government guarantee. And all it does is it tracks inflation. And so I think that's a really important and powerful one to have in the mix right now. But again, this is just financial investment information, not giving investment advice to anybody. And certainly, you'll see that a lot of nonprofits, especially those that have low risk tolerance, also like to look at investments like commodities, government bonds, real estate investment trusts, those sorts of things. But the important thing, you know, is to remember that you can get into some good options, and there are lots of them that are very low risk. And you also want options that you can, where you can at least turn some of them back into cash quickly, right? And so the ones that I named, most of those, you can turn those back into cash in a week or less. So that, you know, if your cash situation starts to dip, it's not like a house where you have to put it on the market and wait for somebody to buy it and this, that, and the other. No, it's like, you know, you call up the broker, or you can put, if you're set up right, you can put the sale in yourself, mm-hmm. and you have cash at the end of the week. Yeah. Should we talk a little bit more about urgency?
Yes, urgency. I imagine the matter is kind of urgent right now.
Yeah. Well, again, think about, you know, can you afford to lose $600 worth of buying power every month? So we got to get the ball rolling, right? Because that adds up to $7,200 over the course of the year.
Right.
Pretty much every nonprofit I know can do a lot with an extra $7,200, yeah. right? And in fact, I've been helping a client right now move from kind of inertia to action on this. And it's a great client, great folks, really smart blue ribbon board. But one of the challenges that they had as a board was, you know, this is a group of volunteers, and this is a really big decision. And it can be really hard for groups of volunteers to make these big decisions that feel like they have a lot of weight. And this does have a lot of weight, although it very often, once you get to understand the situation, I think it also has less risk than it can sometimes feel like it does. And the cost of doing nothing, especially when the cost of doing nothing is more than the cost of doing something. But you still want to be careful about the something that you do. But that also is all the more reason to get some momentum, to move and get the ball rolling right now, because it can be hard for boards to move on something like this. So I would urge nonprofits to consider doing kind of two tracks, because in an ideal world where you have time to plan, you would ideally put in an investment policy and an investment philosophy for the long term. And those are documents where you can find good examples online, or if somebody wants to email me, I can dig up some samples for them. But those are, you know, you can find starter things, and then you tweak them for your own nonprofit. But basically, most of them say for a nonprofit, you know, like our risk tolerance is low or very low. And sometimes they also include things like, we don't want to be invested in things that are contrary to our mission. Mm-hmm. And so for some organizations, that would be like, yeah, we don't want to be involved in tobacco investments because we're all about healthcare and healthy families, things like that. So in an ideal world, you have those in place. And in an ideal world, the board can take 6 months and deliberate and all those things. But I would say start that track, but at the same time, you don't want that cash surplus to keep on losing money in the meantime. And so work with the investment advisor to get something in place that is very low risk, but at least you're not losing money to inflation. And that for some organizations, that might be the TIPS, TIPS, the Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, where at least it's not losing money and those are a low risk investment and hopefully within the organization's risk tolerance. So park the money somewhere safer than the checking account while you work on your investment policy and your investment philosophy, so that then you can, once the board has done careful deliberation, put that in place and really have that, what is the mix? What are our goals? How much, you know, and it might be that, yeah, we can take 10 or 20% and put that into some things that are a little bit riskier, but we want to keep 80% extremely low risk or whatever.
We're going to do a bonus episode when this is done. To talk about a mission-based or at least mission-friendly investing and whether or not it's a good idea to invest in firms that are maybe not aligned with your mission goals.
Okay.
But like you're saying, I mean, just to return to the topic at hand, any licensed investment advisor will have some things to say about how that diversification should take place and what kind of options you've got in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And shop it around, because there will be a few who just like only want to sell you this little from this little bank of products that they have. And that one might not be the right one for you. But you can, that's part of the long-term investment strategy. Short term, don't do something so that by, it's October now, ideally by January 1st, I would hope everybody who's listening in and who has money sitting in a cash surplus, over the next 10 weeks, they can get the money out of that we're losing money to inflation situation, and at least we're keeping track with inflation.
I would go a step further just personally and challenge our listeners to actually not wait until January. It's like you say, it's the middle of October now. I would encourage my listeners by the middle of November to at least start conversing with a licensed financial person about these options and maybe pull the trigger on some actions before the month of November is over. Like you say, why would you put yourself in a position to lose another $600 a month if you can avoid it? So
yes.
Yeah. So thank you, Sean. This is really good stuff. Any parting words for our audience before we go?
Well, just, you know, thank you everybody for caring about this. This is, you know, one of 100 details that goes into keeping your nonprofit strong and thriving and building up for long-term strength. And so thank you for taking the time to care about this when you already have a plate that's probably overflowing with too much to do. But this is, I think, an important one that will help your nonprofit and help it keep strong and resilient in the long term.
Sean Hale, how do folks find you if they want to learn more about you and the work that you do?
Well, I've started my website, seanhale.org, seanhale.org. And you'll find a bunch of blog posts and information about my work. And if you want to reach out, you'll find my email address and a contact us form as well.
Fantastic. Sean, as always, thank you for being my guest in the Snapcast.
Oh, Mickey, thank you. It's a real pleasure.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.